Thomas Ricks covers the Pentagon for the Washington Post, and he joins us in the studio. Tom Ricks, how do they feel about that in the Pentagon right now? Do they feel that the goals are realistic and achievable in Iraq?
The public line is yes. General Myers, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, on Friday testified before the House Armed Services Committee and gave a strongly optimistic assessment. He was responding to one comment made by a retired general that Iraq is on the brink of failure. He said, no, we're on the brink of success. He had great, great hope about the political process and so on. It was really a striking contrast to a lot of the other commentary we've been hearing. Privately, I think people at the Pentagon are much more pessimistic than the presentation he gave.
This past week, General John Abizade, who is the head of CENTCOM, basically the man in charge of American interests in the Middle East, testified before the Senate Armed Services Committee, and he seemed to feel that there are things wrong with the current approach in Iraq. What he said was, our doctrine is not right. There are so many things that are out there that are not right in the way we operate for this war. Now, let me ask you, as a Pentagon correspondent, in this context, what does doctrine mean?
Doctrine is a very important military term. It means how we think about what we do. It's really kind of how we decide what our goals are and then how we try to achieve those goals and how we go out and operate. And I think Abizade was indicating some real frustration with the entire institutional U.S. military approach to Iraq. One of the old military cliches is, if all you have is a hammer, every problem in the world looks like a nail. And the U.S. military really is a very big, very efficient, very good hammer. But that turns a lot of problems into nails, and a lot of things get hit. And I think what Abizade was saying is we really haven't done Iraq in a kind of integrated way where the civilian occupation authority and military operations had a unity of command. You remember you had Bremer running the civilian stuff. You have Abizade and Sanchez running the military stuff. There's really no one in charge on the ground. Sometimes those two entities have been at odds in their operations rather than working together. It does raise the question in my mind why they didn't at the outset have one person in charge on the ground in Iraq. Instead, those different chains of command, or really three, military, civilian, and intelligence, those three chains don't come together until 7,000 miles away at the top of the Bush administration. And Iraq is a hard enough country to run when you're there. Running it by remote control from 7,000 miles away from the office of Donald Rumsfeld and Paul Wolfowitz and George Tenet and the White House doesn't seem to have worked that well.
What about Deputy Secretary Paul Wolfowitz? He also testified in the Senate. He talked about miscalculations, assuming the Iraqis would tolerate a long occupation, which apparently they are not doing very well. How did the uniformed service leaders feel about hearing that kind of thing from Mr. Wolfowitz, one of the civilian leaders?
It was interesting to see Wolfowitz get up there in front of the Senate and make concessions that he hasn't before, that large parts of the occupation effort have been badly handled. But I don't think it was seen as a real change in course by Wolfowitz. I think it was seen more as a tactical retreat where he gave up a few inches in order to kind of get the Senate to keep on backing administration policy. The differences between some uniform leaders, not all, and the civilian leadership of the Pentagon are much, much deeper than that. There really is, among some officers, a profound distrust now of Secretaries Rumsfeld and Wolfowitz and a feeling that we are very much on the wrong course in Iraq. And they would like to see much bigger changes in policy than what Wolfowitz was offering up. I've heard some officers tell me flatly that they think that Rumsfeld, Wolfowitz, and Douglas Feith, the head of policy of the Pentagon, all have to go.
The big guns were all called out before the Senate because of upset about the Abu Ghraib scandal, the abuse of prisoners. What about that, and what has that done to morale at the Pentagon?
In the military generally, there's a lot of people very upset with what happened in that prison. What you hear is the active duty guys blaming the reservists because the MPs that committed the known abuses were a reserve unit. There's a feeling that these soldiers were not trained for the task, nor were they well led. Anybody who reads the Army's internal report, Takuba's report, is shocked. And they kind of want to erase the stain on the U.S. military. At the same time, they feel that there has been a huge media focus on the acts of a handful of a few, and they feel that the good work they're doing in Iraq generally has been neglected by the media.
Thomas Ricks covers the Pentagon for The Washington Post. He came in to talk to us. Thank you very much for doing that.
Thank you.